Good morning, everybody. It is October the 11th. It is 10 o'clock in the morning, and it is the Your Living Brand Live show with Ben Baker. Welcome to the show. Today is another great episode on this show. You know what? Let me tell you a little bit about the show for those people who haven't been here before. This show is all about my guests. It's all about what makes them unique and what makes them valuable and what makes them interesting. I believe that every brand has a unique story to tell. Every brand has something that makes it different, something that makes it interesting, something that makes it valuable to a niche audience. You're not going to sell to everybody. You can't sell to everybody. But the people that care about you, the people that like what you do and appreciate the value that you give to them, can be your champions. And that's only if they understand why they should care. And that's about telling a great brand story and demonstrating your value in the marketplace. Well, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, I own a company called Your Brand Marketing. What do? We consult, we teach, and we speak on brand, message, market, vision, and value. What do I mean by that? We figure out who you are, what you do, why you do it, and why people should care, and why should they talk about you in the first place. So here's today's show. This week, we're interviewing a guy by the name of Mark Fittleman. Mark has a company called Fanatics Media, which is all about influencer marketing. He's based in California, and we ended up having to do a Skype interview on this show. It's recorded, and I recorded it, he recorded it, and actually, his recording was better because we got more of his live voice on it. And you know what? It's more important that we hear what he has to say than what I have to say. So here's the recording. Mark's in the bottom right-hand corner. I get the entire run of the screen, but you know what? Listen to what Mark has to say, because you know what? It's valuable. Enjoy the podcast, and I will see you after we're done.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Ben, it seems like we just did this yesterday.
Well, you know, it might have been yesterday, but it could have been the day before, but who knows? It's, you know, technology is a wonderful thing, but you know what? We got it right this time, and it's a beautiful thing.
We did.
So how are things down in sunny Southern California?
You know, funny enough, today seemed like the first day of fall for me. We've had an abnormally hot summer, but today was overcast. It finally didn't break 70 degrees, so... You know, for me, we're starting to see autumn. I'll miss summer. If I could have summer every single day of the year, I would have it. I'm not like most people.
See, I'm the guy that once it gets above 85 degrees, I'm miserable. So, you know.
Well, then you'd love San Diego because it rarely gets above 85.
Perfect. All right. I'm moving to San Diego. That's it. It's done. Take the family. If I can talk them into it, I'm there. I actually love San Diego. It's great area. Now, I wanted to tell, you know, get people to understand your story. You do an incredible thing in terms of influencer marketing. So tell me the story of Fanatics Media and tell me the story of what you guys do in terms of influencer marketing.
Yeah, I mean, so Fanatics Media was born out of the concept of, you know, bringing influencers into an engagement in order to drive a lot of organic traffic. You know, it's harder and harder to get paid traffic that works. If you could bring in organic traffic with high engagement, that's something that we stand behind and that we see when you're running campaigns or really trying to promote a B2B or B2C business, works extremely well. The origins of Fanatics Media, I'll tell you pretty succinctly, started 6 years ago. We created a survey to the open source industry. And this is way before influencer marketing even had a term for it or a name for it. And fortunately, I had one of the questions, it was one of the last questions on the survey. I just added this kind of glibly. I basically added a question that says, who do you think is the most influential person in the open source industry? And after about 1,000 responses later, we took those responses, we put up a top five post that said, here are the top five people or the top most influential people in the open source industry. And the next day, Ben, it was 600,000 people that had pulled up that article. This was 6 years ago. 600,000.
So 6 years ago, when we're nowhere near today in terms of the influence.
That's right.
And you guys got 600,000 views in 24 hours.
So I mean, literally, Ben, after this post came out, press were contacting each of these five influencers to, you know, to get their thinking about it and why they're so influential. And you know, nobody had done anything like this before. Forbes and Fortune were the only ones, but they were doing like 40 under 40 and 30 under 30 type lists. But nobody had done, not a company had never done a list like this before. So they got so much attention. We got so much attention. And at the end of the day, just a few days later, these influencers were calling us and saying, hey, I mean, I don't know what you did. I don't know what kind of magic fairy pixie dust you spread all over the place. But all of a sudden, you know, people are paying a lot more attention to me than they did before. What can we do for you? And it was at that moment. It was at that moment when I said, OK, there's something big here. They're asking me. These are the most influential people in the industry. They're asking me what they could do for my company. And turns out we did a lot with them. Really moved the needle. They drove awareness for us. They drove sales for us. And that was the beginning of Fanatics Media. It didn't happen right away, but I took those concepts and I turned it into an organization. We are a full service digital marketing agency. You have to be with influencer marketing, but influencer marketing is our bread and butter.
Okay. So for those who are uninitiated, explain influencer marketing. Explain, you know, what it is and how it works.
Yep. So, I mean, the easiest way to explain it is to say that there are celebrities that are out there. We all know them. Michael Jordan comes to mind as one of the more popular. He endorsed a shoe by Nike. And it turns out now it's actually the Jordan shoe. But, at the beginning, it was just his logo, his name on a shoe. And that shoe made millions. And I think if they look back, you know, the relationship is worth has been worth billions over the last 30 years, however long it was. And so influencer marketing is like that, but with a modern tool set. It's no longer, influencers on TV promoting products. It's more like influencers on different social channels, depending on where a target audience is. And they're talking about products. They're doing unboxings. They're doing blog posts about it. These are the influential people with large followings that have some kind of engagement or relationship, a trusting relationship with these individuals that are doing things on behalf of a brand that help promote that product or service. And that's essentially what influencer marketing is today.
Now, when you guys look at influencers, I mean, there's micro influencers, people that influence a local market, people that are, up and comers, and then there's the A-listers.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be B-listers and A-listers. Do you guys look at number of followers or do you guys look at reach? I mean, what's the key factors you guys are looking for?
Yeah, I mean, followers can be gamed. Reach can be gamed, but it's easier to detect when it's being gamed. We look at a combination of factors. We look at followers or subscribers on YouTube. We look at views and we look at engagements relative to those views. So if the engagement is high and the views are high and maybe it's 5%, whatever the number is, then we say, okay, this is probably an influencer that's going to help sell products. In fact, we found there is a correlation and causation for influencers that have high engagement to products sold or conversions, if you're talking B2B, to some kind of an event like download a white paper. So that's what we look for. Right. Now, there's a lot of gaming going on, so you have to be careful.
Oh, yeah. And I believe that there's a lot of gaming. I mean, the key thing is you cut in and out a little bit. So to be able to explain that, it's all about engagement. It's all about, how well did that product sell through, or what was the interaction within the campaign itself? That's the key factor that you're looking for when you're looking for influencers. It's not how many followers that they have, because you're right. You can buy a million followers. You can buy 500,000 followers if you really want to. But just because they're added to your account doesn't mean they care about you. You want the people that actually care about you, that actually listen to this influencer and actually, are passionate about what this influencer is passionate about. So tell me about how you marry an influencer with a campaign. What's the process that you would do to go through that?
Yeah. So first of all, if you have a product or service, you should know who your target audience is. If you don't know, we'll find out who they are for you. And we work backwards from that. So if your target audience are people that are sports-minded, that love shoes, that watch the NBA all the time, then Michael Jordan, according to Nike, and it was a success, that's a good influencer for your campaign. So find the target audience, work backwards. It's not hard to find out through surveys or just through pure observation who these people look up to and who they're taking direction from in terms of trends or recommendations.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're not going to use Shania Twain to sell, I don't know, you know, men's
skateboards.
Underwear. You know, let's just go from the ridiculous to the sublime. You know, find people that where they're already talking about the type of things that you're interested in, you know, and get people that are already having that conversation, you know, and then work from that point forward. Is that basically what you're getting at?
Yeah, especially with B2C, very important. With B2B, you know, it's the same thing. You want influencers that are targeting those audiences, just lower numbers, but deeper relationships.
Right. Yeah, so when we're dealing with these influencers, how do you contact them? There's obviously, you know, different ways to contact them, and I'm sure when you're going after a Beyonce, you're going to contact them a lot differently than you're going to contact, say, me if you wanted me to be an influencer. So how would you go about doing that if you're looking for an A-lister, you're looking for, a national campaign, how would you go about, you know, find those A-listers and contacting them?
Well, the best way is to go through an agency like ours because we already have the relationships with them. But let's say you didn't want to work with an agency. You want to do it yourself. There are many ways. A lot of these influencers have contact information either on their YouTube page or Twitter is a good way to do it. If you could DM them on Twitter, a lot of them don't allow that. But the ones that do, great way. I'd also use a solution like Nimble. Nimble's got a very good way of finding where all these influencers have profiles or where they exist. And occasionally, especially with their new prospector tool, you can find out their email address.
Right.
But even after you got all that information, you still have to have the right messaging to get their attention. Because these influencers, think of them, and it's a crude analogy, but it's one that really resonates with people. These are like the hottest women at the club or the bar or the school, whatever.
Yeah, we lost you for a second. Just a second.
Okay.
Say it again, Mark. We just lost you.
Okay. And by the way, I'm recording audio on my side, so it'll be clean on my side.
Perfect.
Okay. So, yeah. So these are like the hottest women at school or at the club or whatever. Think of these influencers as really, really attractive women that everyone's trying to hit on because that's what's happening. You could have 30 to 40 people reaching out to these top-level influencers every single day. So you've got to come up with a message that's going to rise above all the rest of the competition. So that's the critical component here is how do you do that? And there's no right one way. I mean, every situation is different depending on who the influencer is.
Sure. So, you know, but it's a lot better to use a company like yours. Because as you said, you already have the relationships. You're not using them for one campaign and done. You're going to keep in touch with them and have those influences and those relationships because those influencers know you could throw a half dozen, a dozen, two dozen campaigns to them over their lifetime, which could be extremely valuable. You know, so being able to use an agency like yours makes it easier for people to actually approach these people and have their product or service recognized instead of trying to do it themselves.
Yeah, and it's also less expensive because we can negotiate rates that are far below what you can negotiate if you're out there looking for influencers. That's with our fee built in. So you're crazy not to in most circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, you know, $50,000 for one tweet.
Yeah.
You know, that, I've heard,
and don't
sure
do that.
It goes up from there.
Don't do you tweets. Know. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do tweets?
Well, not for $50,000. I mean, tweets should be part of a campaign. It should not be what the influencer's primary method is because tweets disappear in seconds.
Oh, I like it to tell people that says spending their entire year's marketing budget on page one of the New York Times. You know, you sit there, you make one big splash, and it's gone.
That's right. Now, tweets and, are even faster.
Twitter's going to see it.
Yep.
You know, unless you're going to get, you know, 50 tweets from this person over a week period, or 100 tweets from this person over a week's period, maybe that makes sense. Other than that, it's not a great idea in terms of, you know, bang for your buck.
Yeah, and very little SEO value. Like on YouTube, you have incredible SEO value. So yeah, tweets should be part of the campaign, but not the primary focus one.
Oh, absolutely, I agree with you a lot. Now, when we get down to, you know, micro influencers, which are, you know, the people that are local celebrities, you know, people that are, say, regional influencers, etc., or influencers in a niche, say, you know, people that just talk about parts in NASCAR. You know, you got a guy out there that has a following of 50,000 or 100,000 or 200,000 people, you know, and he is the perfect guy for Napa Auto Parts. You know, he's the guy that that Napa's or one of these big, you know, parts manufacturers wants somebody because he's already talking about it. You know, how do you talk Napa into using, you know, that level of influencer when they're just sitting there, but we want the top level people?
Well, I have a discussion, first of all, about budget and to let them know, hey, you know, it's a tier one budget can be pretty expensive. Now, it might fit what you're looking to do because they'll drive a lot of traffic, they'll drive engagement, and then ultimately they'll drive conversions. And if you can afford that, it's probably not the best thing you can do. I'd work with tier twos, but it would be better in aggregate over micro influencers. Why you want to use micro influencers is a lot of times you can get it to do them for free. And if you can manage, right, if you have a staff capable of managing 50 to 100 of these people, and, you know, paying some, not paying others, and being able to manage all that and to track it, then micro-influencers could be a very inexpensive, effective way to get word out about your product or service.
Right. But where the tier two influencers have what do you call them? Like, they have to have 100,000 followers, 250,000 followers. Is there a range that you guys look at when you're looking at these people to be able to say you are a tier two because you have this many followers on YouTube?
Yeah, on the on the B2C side, yeah, we look between 100 and a million. We might move that up to 250,000 here pretty soon, but right now it's 100,000 to a million with high engagement. You've got to remember, you got to keep that high engagement, or else you're dealing with an influencer that has no connection with their audience, or worse, right, you know, they're fake followers.
Exactly. And there's nothing worse than the fake followers. There's nothing worse than, you know, being caught in that trap of saying, ooh, this person's got 500,000 followers. Oh, I should use this person to influence my product. Well, you know, if there isn't the engagement that goes with it, you know, if this person doesn't have a real audience that's listening to them on a regular basis and is interacting with them, you know, you're throwing your money away.
Right.
And, you know, companies like Mark know how to, you know, fish that out, you know, where you probably don't as a regular person.
That's
right. You don't understand how to look at the different analytics and see who's worth dealing with and who's not.
Yeah. Great point.
Thank you. So, last thing, you know, when we're dealing with influencers is, you know, how do you? I mean, there must be some type of aggregating software. Is it like a Match.com, or, you know, how does it work? Because there's thousands of them. If there's not hundreds of thousands of them, of these people that are sitting there by their computer, you know, doing their thing, telling their story, you know, getting people to listen to them, you know, but you can't just be searching YouTube all day, every day. There's got to be a way to find these people in an effective manner.
Yeah. So for B2C, we use Hyper. That's Hyper, H-Y-P-R, brands.com. We think they're the best because they're multi-channel. I mean, they got YouTube, they got all the different channels. For B2B, I like Little Bird. So it depends on, you know, what type of operation that you have. If you're going after B2B or B2C, you know, I would recommend one of the others, and I've probably tried them all. It's not to say that some of the others aren't very good. I just find for what we do, Hyper and Little Bird to be the best. I have to add that Hyper Brands does sponsor my YouTube channel. I have to add that. But I legitimately seek them out because I thought they were the best to do a show with them.
Well, that's important. I mean, you're going to use a tool that's effective. I mean, yes, right. You know, they are sponsoring your show. Good, you know, thank you for putting that out there. But you know what? If the technology isn't good technology, you're not going to use it. And that's, you know, that's another thing going back to the influencers. You know, if they don't like your product, they're not going to use it. They're not going to tell people. You know, I'm sure the B-level influencers are not quite as picky about that. You know, and they might be able to, you know, fudge liking a product that they don't, you know, particularly like. But you're going to read that authenticity in their YouTubes and in their posts about that. But you know what? The best thing to do is to make sure that whoever the influencer that you're using is excited about it. Because guess what? They're going to script it. And they're the ones that are going to be putting the video out there. And they're the ones that are going to be putting that information out in public about your brand. So you better be interested in how they present things before you hand it to them. Because once it's in their hands, they control how that product or service is being communicated to their followers, not you.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's tough. I mean, so that's a lot of things to do. Now, Mark, you know, we've talked a lot about influencers. We've talked a lot about, you know, your company and the value that you guys provide and the fact that you guys can bring people on, you know, and be able to negotiate contracts and be able to provide that value in the service. And that's tricky in a digital world. I mean, those are tricky things. But what I wanted to find out from you, and you know, we'll stop with this, is when the day is done and you leave an office and you close the door and you get in your car and you drive away, what are the things you want your clients to think about you and how you do business? You know, what are the things that you want to leave them with that you want them thinking about when you're not in the room?
Yeah, I mean, my answer is kind of the same for both large and small companies. For small companies, I really want them to believe and to understand that we care and I want their business to succeed. And we show that in a lot of different ways. So I don't think there's ever, you know, anybody that believes any differently, and that's our number one goal. We want to we want to partner with you. We want you to succeed, and we'll do everything possible in order to make you succeed. For big companies, it's more about, okay, how can we use our complementary skill sets and services to push a project down the line, make it successful, and all come out looking good. And similar concept, right? We're doing everything possible to make you successful, with much bigger impact on a small business than a large business, but our commitment's still the same. We're partnering with you. We want you to be successful, and we're going to do everything we can to make you successful. And I think 99.9% of our customers still believe that today, and will believe that in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it's all about the customer. It's all about understanding their goals, understanding what's important to them, understanding what they're trying to achieve, what does success look like to them? And if we can help them achieve their goals, they'll keep coming back to us.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That's what it's all about. And it's all about making the people you work with successful. And you know, that's what I see you do on a regular basis. You know, when I'm watching you on Facebook, when I'm watching you on LinkedIn, listening to the different things that you do and see the type of campaigns you've worked on, you know what, you guys do a really good job with that. So thank you very much. So hang out in the green room for a minute. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. Sounds like we've stopped.
So thank you guys very much for joining us on the show today. Sorry about the audio. It was the joys of technology in a modern world. You know, Mark brings some amazing things to the world in terms of his extreme diverse knowledge about the influencer marketing and the whole digital realm. You know what? Take a look at Fanatics Media. You know, Google Mark Fittleman. He is an amazing resource for you. If you have a campaign and you want to get it out to a specific audience, he'll find the right influencer. He'll find the right way to get someone to tell your story for you so that people get what you do and want to buy from you. They see your value. Now, next week, we're going to have Rich Pattison on the show. Rich is a treat. He's a good friend and a fellow compatriot in the promotional marketing business. And he has an interesting story to tell about how he went from retail to promotional marketing and the specialty that he has in developing unique and different items. So join in. Once again, it's Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, we consult, we speak, and we teach on brand message, market vision, and value. We look forward to hearing from you next week. Have a great day.